So everything today in our readings is about sin and temptation from Adam and Eve in the garden with the tree and a crafty serpent to Jesus with 40 days in the wilderness, the 40 days on which the season of Lent, which is the season of the church year we find ourselves in right now, is patterned, 40 days of learning how to pay attention to God's voice, 40 days of discovering what it means to be God's child, 40 days of discovering our dependence on God. But even though it's all about devils, all the way through these scripture readings, here's the line that struck me this week. The very last line of our gospel reading. When the devil left him, suddenly angels came and waited on him. The devil disappears and the angels show up. And suddenly they begin to give Jesus everything he needs. The word there that's translated waited on him sort of means something like table service, almost as if we're to imagine waiters and waitresses in a fine restaurant attending to every need that Jesus has before he's even aware that he has it. They bring him food, presumably, after his long fast, and company. I'm not sure what those angels looked like or even what they were like. Maybe they were like Roma Downey in the old series Touched by an Angel. Wonderful beings in human form. Or maybe they glowed the way they sometimes do in Renaissance paintings. Did they have wings and halos? Or were they, as they are often portrayed in other scripture readings, simply fiery serpents with six wings? It's hard to know what they looked like, but it's easy to contrast their actions with those of the devil in the story. The devil tempts and tries to trick. The devil entices Jesus up and away from his location in the wilderness, taking him away from the place where he has been walking, putting him on the pinnacle of the temple and then a high mountain, trying to tell him that perhaps he should be somewhere else. The angels, by contrast, show up where he is. Do not try to take him away, but see to his needs in the moment. The devil looks for worship. The angels look to serve. The devil tries to elicit praise. The angels see to his needs. It's actually an interesting moment. This moment of Jesus being served by angels after his temptation. Because in some ways, this story of Jesus being able to resist temptation three different times, with three totally reasonable temptations. The temptation to satisfy his own hunger, the temptation to test God and find out if God is really as true to his word, as it would seem, the temptation to have under his power all the kingdoms of the world. After all, Jesus was supposed to be the king of the world, wasn't he? Wouldn't it be easier if he could just trade one bow to the devil and get all that he needed or all that he was destined for without all of that preaching and teaching and dying on the cross business? All reasonable temptations. But Jesus resists, displaying in the process that he is the Son of God and that he will trust that identity more than he will trust the easy path. This is the moment in which it seems Jesus is the faith hero of the Gospels. And yet right at the moment, when he seems to have succeeded in every possible way, resisting every possible temptation, doing what we cannot, what happens? He He's served. He's taken care of. His needs are met. He's fed. Perhaps the angel showed up with a blanket and a pillow, rubbed his feet after his hike up the mountain. Whatever this little detail in the story is meant to tell us, it at least signifies this. When it comes to sin, sin is not needing help. It's not a sin to be in need, whether need of food, whether words of love, or anything else. It's not a sin to be dependent on God or others, and to be a hero, perhaps, of the faith is to dig deep down into that need. See, the idea that we don't need God to have God, the idea somehow that we can do life by ourselves, is actually the fundamental root of sin. If Adam and Eve can eat from the fruit of the tree, the serpent tells them, they can be like God, knowing good and evil. If Jesus turns stones to bread, he can feed himself and won't need to receive from the earth or farmers. If he throws himself down from the temple, he can command God to do what God, he can command God to be under his power. Every single temptation that Jesus faces is a temptation to take the world on his own terms, to lord it over his own circumstances. But Jesus instead chooses the way of dependence, relying on the word of God, words of scripture, to repel the devil, affirming that his fundamental identity is simply to be God's child. Even before the angels show up with a wilderness picnic, the word of God feeds his mind and his heart. Jesus is not on his own, even in resisting temptation. To be a hero in the faith is not to do it on your own, but it is to rely on God and God's word. Recently, I was in a class on Christian leadership, a master class of sorts, in which a coach was publicly coaching people who brought cases to him for guidance. I was in the audience. And what would happen was that the coach would have the person who was displaying their case talk through the situation they were facing, which was usually some very difficult aspect of leadership, and then would have that person draw on the board all their family, plus the people who they were working with in their congregation or their workplace, plus other people that they knew, so that progressively, as the case was discussed, you would get this map of family members and coworkers and friends that surrounded the person who was facing their leadership crisis. And as each case was presented, I began to notice a pattern in the coaching. The coach would say, after the whole map of friends and family were up on the board, the coach would say, "Who can help you here? Who can help?" Not, "How do you master this situation?" Not, "How do you guide these people through their crisis?" Not, "What is the thing that you need to do in order to be the strong one?" But rather, "Who here can strengthen you? Who here can guide you? Who here can help lead you as you lead others?" It reminded me, in fact, of the experience that many people have when they are in recovery or going through AA, where they have a sponsor who helps them through the daily temptations and the trials of being in recovery, because it's hard to make it one day at a time by yourself. You need someone who's been there before. And what this Christian leadership professor was in essence saying is that all of us need that through a wilderness. Jesus did not resist temptation on his own, but had the word of God. Jesus, when he finished resisting the devil, was not on his own, but had angels who tended to his needs. And we, Jesus' brothers and sisters, are not his disciples, are not greater than him. We need others. We need the word. We need to be fed in order to walk the path that God calls us to walk. So with that, all of us who walk through a daily wilderness of temptation, and you know what they look like, those temptations, the ways that we are enticed to live life on our own terms, the ways we are lured to try to be in control, the ways we attempt to become our masters of our own fate, we need others around us, and we need the word of God. And so we come to this place to be gathered around God's word so that it can feed us. We come to this place to hold out our hands and receive bread from heaven, the body and blood of Christ himself to strengthen us through the wilderness. We come to hear God's word, and we come to see others who are with us on this path, so that when we face temptation elsewhere, we can know that we are not doing this thing, this Christian life business, this journey on our own, but have a great company of brothers and sisters with us. At this table, around this altar, we confess the truth that we are dependent people. And that's okay, because there's grace in this wilderness. And there is food for the journey, and Christ wants us to have it, and he gives it to us abundantly and generously. For 40 days, the next 40 days, the church takes the time to reflect on the wilderness of our lives, the wilderness of this world, the ways we are tempted, and our need for God. Sometimes Christians will take particular disciplines to mark this time. Giving something up, you might say, brownies or chocolate. Sometimes taking something on, extra prayer or reading or worship. If you haven't identified a Lenten discipline for yourself, here's a thought. Every day until Easter, look for the people who are helping you. Look for the people who are strengthening you. Look for the people who are helping you to resist, who are telling you that there is one thing that matters, and that's not mastering or controlling, but simply resting in the grace and love of God. And who knows, if you do that, you might have a good idea about what angels are like. Amen.